The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, Beth Moore and her husband Keith join James and Betty.
And Keith and I have said that that we've each been married to five different people. They all just look exactly like us. Yeah, he told me one time, he said, I forget what a flower you are. And I thought, oh, a flower? I love it. I wanted to talk about, like, what kind of flower am I?
Living in Love, next on Life Today.
Welcome to Life Today. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Betty, and this is Jane.
Well, we are talking to Beth Moore and to her husband, Keith. And some of you will say that is a real privilege to get to see both of them together. As a matter of fact, in their relationship, they have experienced challenges and tension in two strong personalities. And Betty and I, as we share in the book, Living in Love, which we're talking about. And by the way, if you'd like to have the book, of course, it's in the bookstores. We will send it to you. We will mail it to you if you'll simply help us drill 415 water wells. You say, you expect me to do that? No. Give a cup of water. Help us. As an example, $48, and we are able to give 10 people water for the rest of their life. Some of you say, boy, I wish I could have that where I live. Well, this is a gift that just keeps giving. And we're asking you to help us do that. But we want you to have the book, Living in Love, and we'll gladly send it to you to say thanks. We'll also send you an incredible book, wonderful study, Praying God's Word. And I know many of you are facing challenges right now, perhaps in your marriage, perhaps in relationships, and perhaps just challenges because of the economic instability and uncertainty. And Betty and I have been praying a lot together for people who need a job, need an opportunity. And you know what we've said over and over? You want your prayers answered? You want your needs met? Now, this is God's promise. This is not some government grant or promise. God says, when you care for the hungry, when you care for the suffering, I will answer quickly. I'll hear you. You'll become a well-watered garden. You'll become an ever-flowing stream. That's what God says. And He will meet your needs. Well, Betty and I are talking about relationship. And you know, one of the things in marriage is the challenge of finances, rearing children, all of those things that come. And then the enemy. We talk about that invisible force. You'll want to get the book. But let's join Keith and Beth Moore as they talk to us. And Beth was excited about the book and what she read. So let's join that time that we had them right here with us, talking about the subject, living in love. It's possible for all of you. You both came from what you'd call extreme difficulty in the beginning, in childhood, and in your families. And we came from two pretty extreme. Keith, how in the world can you possibly stay together? I mean, you all are growing. She's gone on this Jesus journey and this teaching journey. And, you know, you love the ranch and the outdoors and the dogs. And both of you love dogs. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a lap dog, a dachshund. They got big dogs. But guess what? We go to see them, we got a big lap dog.
They want to sit right in their lap.
How do you explain that you can enjoy one another so much?
Well, the similarity between Beth and I was that we were both wounded at a real early age. So we actually had, you know, we were 180 degrees apart trying to deal with the same problem. So what needed to be done was in the middle. So we beat each other to the middle. That's kind of how it worked. And there were tools that she had that I didn't know how to do, and she helped me with them, and vice versa. That's how it worked, and I see that happen with people all the time, is that you think that they're really different, but their wounds are the same, but they cope. Their coping mechanisms are polar opposites. And if they learn how to, I think God puts you together so you can have renewal of the mind.
Yes.
That's the way that I see that works.
I think we have to keep
We do. And we adjusting. Have to keep changing because, you know, you remember when you graduate from high school, you, in your yearbook, everybody writes, never, never change. Well, of course you're going to change. What if you didn't change? Can you imagine what we'd be like if we were in our 50s still acting like we were when we were 16? And Keith and I have said that that we've each been married to 5 different people. They all just look exactly like us. Because we just keep, you know, just going to the next one and going to the next one and going to the next one. But it takes that, just the tenacity to hang with it. And that's what we've seen in you guys. And that you're not going to let that present struggle take the joy out of your relationship. That you're still going to laugh together. You're still going to snuggle together. You're still going to do life together. You really have lived out the love and have stayed. Anybody that's around you can tell that you still have a very romantic a kind of love with one another that it's very, it is. It is. I'm so glad I brought my notes so I can hit them with it. But something that Keith has said a lot of times, I would imagine it's the same for you. You know, if you offend me, it's one thing, but it's another thing entirely to Keith because I'm his beloved and he's mine. Like, you might get to me, but don't you dare mess with my husband. And we're so defensive of one another. And I see that in the two of you. And Keith will say from time to time when he's really mad at somebody that's been critical toward me, he'll say, they didn't value my treasure. Yeah. And, that's, you know, when Keith talks about me that way, that I'm his treasure, and that's
flower.
How you are.
Don't forget the flower.
Yeah, he told me one time, he said, I forget what a flower you are. And I thought, oh, a flower? I love it. I wanted to talk about, like, what kind of flower am I? But you're like that. She's your treasure. Yeah. Your
don't
treasure.
Don't you think that is key, though, is realizing in your relationship, in this marriage, that you're on the same team?
Yes.
You're one. Oh, even when you have different differences, that's different right. opinions.
It takes a while,
we're not in we're not in competition.
No.
You're not trying to make him like you.
That's
and I'm
huge.
He's not trying to make me like him, you know. Appreciate the different personalities, because that's what you liked about each other in the first place.
You're right, Betty. You're right. But what you said was so profound. It's not a competition. Mm-hmm. And you have to say that to one another over and over, especially when you're in the middle of a conflict of some kind, that this isn't a contest. It's not about who wins. Because if I win and he loses, we've still lost. You know, Keith says something. You gotta tell him what you always say to me.
Which I'm not sure I say a lot.
Well, you always say, baby, somehow we both gotta win when this is all over with.
I have said that once.
Yeah, yeah, about 1,000. He said it once today. Where there's got to be a way that we both, the way we work through it in such a way that both parties still have their dignity and still have value in one another's eyes.
Well, and the key too is keeping that sensitivity that you were so careful about when you first married. You know, I appreciate the fact that my husband is strong and he's like you say, a man's man, you know, that's my man. But also I look for that tenderness.
Yes.
That forgiveness.
Women have to have that.
We really do. There's a balance there. And sometimes we lose part of that as the years go by.
Yes.
We have to keep renewing that in our relationship and keep those things in common that we so cherish when we first married.
That's right.
We talk about open, honest communication and the total commitment to it. I think that one of the things we point out is that body language, and this is supposed psychological study reveals an analysis of relationship. In communication, the greater message is communicated in body language, and then tone, and then you hear the words. And Betty and I really try to make certain that we're not only hearing the words, we're hearing the heart. And this really is critical. And that you understand the heart. And what is it they're trying to say? You reach a point that you actually not only, you're not assaulting what they're trying to say, but you're helping them express their heart. And the thing that will make them express their heart is that they sincerely believe you care about their heart, that you don't want to walk on their heart, that it is not your intention to hurt them. We have actually accepted something, you know, very early in our marriage that one of our pastors said, Dr. Jimmy Draper, who was head of the Southern Baptist Lifeway and all their Sunday
for
school
many, many
material
years,
for
yes.
many years, and the president of that great convention. He said, if Carol Ann or I hear the other person say something that hurts us, we know we misunderstood them, because they would never intentionally say something to hurt us. So if we're hurt, we know we simply misunderstood them. Well, Betty and I not only accepted that from them, we believe that. We would not intentionally hurt each other. And I will say that every day, throughout the day, we have what I think most people would find as an opportunity to kind of part. In other words, we find points of friction every day. We get sharp every day, don't we? We get home. We really do see those moments of friction, and we've learned to let it make us stronger, but we have them every day. You say, well, you've been nearly 50 years together. Don't you get past it? Not yet. We haven't gotten there yet.
No.
See, we don't get there.
But
it's
because
every
you
day
still
we
care.
Yeah.
I'm positive of this. I've told
Absolutely.
People before, we've never gotten to where we couldn't get hurt or couldn't have a fight because we're still in it. Mm-hmm. We still care about it. We still care about one another and want to have a real live marriage instead of just living under the same roof. I think when people stop having any kind of conflict whatsoever, they've stopped having any kind of communication. Because it's just two people living in the same house. It's because you do care so much. I loved what you guys said in the book about the three steps. Stop, repeat, and clarify. That when you are in a conversation where all of a sudden you can tell it brought some kind of offense, that's when you need to stop right there. Okay, now let's see. Let's repeat that somehow and clarify what we're trying to say. Just what you were talking about with Dr. Draper, that okay, if that just hurt, then I bet I did not say that like I meant it. Because when I can see that, you know, I've wounded, I don't want that. I don't want that. And I can either stop right then and say it a different way, or we can just go on and get in a bigger and bigger fissure between the two of us.
Well, I think it's real important in your communication. There's a right way to communicate with
yes.
one another. If you're waiting for your spouse to get through telling their disagreement, they talking and sharing their disagreement with you, but you're not really listening to
That's
them.
Right.
You're waiting so you can make your spiel.
Yeah, you're planning
and
what you're going to say.
Put them in their place.
Yes.
You know, well, that's not the right kind mm-hmm. of communication. Mm-hmm. You have to start, and it has to come from the heart. You have to have a listening heart to say, what did I say wrong or what did I do wrong to make them feel that way?
You know,
it's the attitude in
which
we approach
it. It's the truth, Betty. It's the truth. Something that that Keith and I have learned to say to one another through the years when we get in kind of a thing where we saw it so differently is that if I couldn't agree with it, if I didn't feel the same way, well, at least I could hear what he's saying and he could hear what I'm saying. Sometimes to just say in the middle of that conflict, I hear you. I hear you. Because sometimes it's not that I need you to feel exactly the same way I do, but would you hear what I think and what it's says to me? Would you hear me out? And I think that's just giving dignity to the person.
Now, let me add something
Respect.
To that. If you've been
yes.
in the journey like us and you say, do you hear me? Well, with people getting older like me, the issue
they
is
actually doesn't hear me.
We don't actually hear at all what you're saying. And you know, I would say, what do you say? And by the third time, and I'd say, why are you screaming at me? He says, so you can hear me.
Yeah. Y'all have to tell. I'm telling you, if your audience, they already love you so much, but I tell them all the time, if you really knew them, you would love them even more because they come off so endearing from this platform. But I'm telling you, to know them face-to-face and person-to-person, they're even dearer. But do you guys remember the time in the car that one of you accidentally called the other and
yeah.
it was all this exact...
Yeah, I called.
It was him.
Yes. You've got to tell them.
Yeah, there's...
On the road, in the car.
A lot of funny stuff about the hearing, but we're riding up to see our daughter. And you've kept up with us on Life Today. She's the one that had the battle with cancer, and what an incredible victory. That's our baby girl, but, you know, has three teenage children. And we're driving up, and they go to Willie George's church, which is church on the way in Tulsa. And we're driving, I thought I'd call Willie. So I'm driving, and I dial, and a lady answers the phone, and Willie's wife is named DeLeva. I says, is this DeLeva? And a voice says, no. Who did you want? Willie George. She said, well, who is this? I said, James Robinson. Well, I'm his wife. I said, DeLeva? She said, no. I said, no. Now, who did you want? I said, Willie George. Now, again, who is this? I said, James Robinson. Well, I'm his wife. I said, DeLeva? She said, no. And she's over here. She said, you're talking to me.
I was over here. He was over here.
Listen, it doesn't get better than that.
I turned to him and I said, you called me.
Yeah. You will always be working in really
yeah.
to communicate clearly.
Yes.
And we point out the necessity of being honest in the communication. You said something that you thought was one of the most priceless things you read in the book was that that we suggested that people repent while it's still a secret.
Yes, it's on my notes right here. I thought that was the most profound line. I was telling you earlier that outside the scriptures, I've never heard a sentence more profound than that, that repent while it's still a secret. And I want you to explain to them what that means,
well,
because the concept
is
so great.
Well, it's God's invitation. You know, when he invites you to come into his mercy and grace and come boldly to the throne of grace. You know, when that prodigal boy came home, boy, he didn't expect the reception that he got. He didn't repent until he messed it all up. But by the way, you made a comment, Keith, you didn't know many people who do.
That's right.
Why would you say that?
Because I haven't.
Not and you know much. What? I'm sorry to say that's true. Mm-hmm. And in other words, repent before you get caught.
Yes.
But because you heard a call. Come and dine, the Master calleth. Come and dine. God is not in the shaming business. That's what the world and the enemy does. That's what the world exploits with true confessions that God has no interest in. He already knew. Once you know, and you bring it to him. He said, I paid it all. I took the blame, the shame. Now come to me. If we will just respond to the call, this is what I hear couples. Come to him before the marriage blows
yes.
up. Before all everybody's humiliated. Come to him. Now, the world will still try to humiliate you. If they can ever find it, they'll still try to hurt you. But God's not in the humiliation business. He humbles us, and we humble ourselves before him. He's not interested in humiliating us. You know, I saw Jesus, and I've shared this with our viewers, Beth. I saw Jesus. Literally, it was like suddenly I was clothed with him, or he's yes. just in me, and I'm looking at him weeping over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And he said, like a hen, I wish you'd come. And I don't know if you've ever seen it. You've been around farms enough that you've seen this, Keith. That hen, all she has to do is do this. And those little chicks, their little legs, they're the cutest little thing. And I've seen them with little ducklings, and they just waddle. All the matter of fact, we had a mother duck in our neighborhood that had 8 little ducklings. Yeah. And they got separated, and I started to walk over to see them, and she went like this. And all those little ducks right up under. And she, and I said, that's the baddest duck I ever saw in my life. And those little ducklings ran. And what Jesus said, here's what he's saying to all of us. He's saying this to every husband and to every wife, to every couple, to every person. He's saying, come. And he wants you to run. He's saying that over Jerusalem. I don't want you to come because of the desolation of Jerusalem. I want you to come because of the loving invitation to get in the shadow of the Almighty. You know, I really hope you're enjoying us just talking and sharing together. I pray you are, because, you know, we really want to help you in your relationship with God, your relationship with your spouse and with your family. And we'd love for you to get the book, Living in Love. As a matter of fact, if you would simply help us literally give a cup of water to someone in need, help us drill these wells, whatever part you can play in fulfilling God's heart, we just want to say thank you. And I want you to watch as Betty and I are observing needs in a desperate situation where all they need is fresh water and we can provide it. Listen with your heart. Can you believe this?
James, this is unbelievable, just incredible. They're trying to wash this plastic so it'd be clean enough for them to sell it so they can make money to provide for their family, to buy just the necessities, food, anything to survive. But yet then they'll come later, dip this water up and drink it. Think about it. Every time you go to the sink to get a drink of water, do you look in it to see if there's any contamination in it? Do you look in it to see if anything's crawling around? Of course you don't. Well, these people see that day after day after day. They don't have to examine it. It's just so evident. As you look around here, all the garbage is just incredible. But yet that's all they have, and you have to have water to even survive for a little while. And when these babies are born and this is all they have, how do you think their chances are for making it to adulthood? That's where we can make the difference. So please join with us. Let's give them those water wells so they can have the clean water.
Well, I don't think there's a question that, any question that you say, James, that's horrible. It's just, you can't imagine that. And you know, we see some situations that it's extremely difficult to address. There's no simple solution. But when people need fresh, clean water that we take for granted, thank God we can in the advanced countries of the world, but they have no clean water. Mm-hmm. And as you were saying there, Betty, when you look and see it, it just turns your stomach. But we can give them in that very area, with the help of our viewers, we can give them fresh, clean water well, and really it's a gift that lasts the rest of their lives.
Well, you know, James, we are so truly blessed here. I mean, we do. We have such wonderful conveniences of life. We don't have to worry about the things that they have to worry about so many times, but especially the water. It just makes my heart ache when I see the things that these babies are putting into their system. Why? Because they don't have another choice. Well, I want to be a part, and I feel like you do too. Let's give them a choice for clean, pure water.
Well, and the way we do it is joining together and asking as many of you as possible to drill a well. Betty and I have now, for more than 10 years that we began drilling wells, we have given a well every time. And we drill wells twice a year when we come to you and ask for help. I can remember when we saw how great the need was, and our missionary said, "You can't imagine the profound impact it's having. We've got to continue doing this. It's saving so many lives, and we're winning so many people to Christ." Well, Betty and I talked. And we said every time we drill a well or we have that emphasis, we're going to give one. Now, that was quite a stretch for us to do that. And you may remember when we started, they were $3,600. Now it's $4,800. And we've been doing it. But here's what I know. We have seen God fulfill His promise that when you literally become an answer to the need of the poor, the hungry, the thirsty, and as Jesus said, give a cup of water, you will not miss God's reward. You are going to be blessed. He didn't promise anybody a money tree. He promised to meet our needs. And that's the testimony of people all over the world who tell us, thank God we've had a part in that. Now, here's what I'm asking you to do. I want you to dial the number. If your heart was broken, you needed prayer, you want someone to pray for you because you're in a challenging time, we'll do it. We want to help you. That's why we're here every day. But I'm asking you to call today to say, I want to help drill those wells. Could you drill a well? Could you give 10 people water the rest of their life? A gift of $48 will do that. $48, 10 people water the rest of their life. This is a single gift that just keeps giving. $144 will give 30 people water the rest of their life. Can you do that? Father, I pray everyone who can will right now see those 10 people, 30 people, that they can give water to the rest of their life in Jesus' name. Do you know that some of you right now, you in particular, you know God has blessed you and put it in your heart to give a well. They're $4,800. If God put it on your heart, I'm asking you, follow that impression. There may be some of you that say, James, I can't do that, but I have been blessed. I could give $1,200 or I could give $2,400 and pray somebody will join me or three people join me. Every gift is critically important. You just think about it. If someone doesn't have clean water, and I'm going to give those people water the rest of their life, help them deal with the diseases that come because of contaminated water. Put a fresh water source right in their midst. You think that doesn't make the work of the missionaries so much easier when they can not only talk about the love of God, but people have seen it? Would you dial the number right now? Take your bank card, use it like a check. If you write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're mailing it. Or you can go online, lifetoday.org. Please let us hear from you today and make the best gift you possibly can.
Water. Without it, life as you know it cannot exist. But for millions of children and families, their only available water is filled with disease and once ingested can lead to death. But one new water well can turn the most barren desert into an oasis of life. With your donation today, Mission Water for Life can drill 415 water wells this year in 15 nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will provide for 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, uncontaminated water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift of any size, we'll send you Living in Love, James and Betty's new book that shares keys to an exciting and fulfilling marriage. You'll also receive Beth Moore's best-selling book, Praying God's Word. With your gift of $100 or more, you may also request this beautiful leather journal to record and reflect on your own personal times with God. And finally, with your gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, be sure to request Heart of the Father, our beautiful new bronze sculpture representing God's fatherly love for us as His children. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You know, I'm kneeling down here by what is a common water source for little village areas. This river meanders through this part of Central America. And it's the water source. It's contaminated with animal waste. It's contaminated with human waste because they don't have any sewage. They have no running water. So they go to the bathroom out here in the bush and the brush. And then it washes here. And people get all kinds of intestinal diseases. And clean water, fresh water, that's the answer. And this is what they have now, making them sick, killing a lot of them, very young. But we can give them a fresh water well. You may be able to give one, or give toward it, or give a cup of water that adds up and becomes a well of water. But we need everyone's help. You make a life-giving call today, please. We've heard from so many of our friends who said, James, you'll have no idea what living in love, the story of your journey and your marriage and what God has shown you, His insights, what it's meant to us, changed our lives. We'd like our friends to have it. Well, some of you may not have gotten the book. Some of you may have gotten it, wanted it for a friend. We're sending it for any gift to just help us share water. So please make the best gift you can. Beth Moore's book, Praying God's Word, for any gift. We've got the beautiful journal for those of you who can and will help us and make a special gift of $100 or more. And then the Father's Heart bronze. I believe with all my heart, when we join together, we're putting God's arms around the world in need. They are seeing God's heart. Thank you for your help. Encourage your friends to watch, and you can spend your life living in love and sharing that love.
People need to know that relationships like this exist.
Tomorrow, Beth Moore and her husband Keith discuss communication with James and Betty. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.